Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Oh, hello.
Sean Preece.
I'm here.
And Tim Schwartz.
Who's not here.
Hey! Happy New Year to you, Sean Preece.
Happy New Year to you, Stephen Scott. I'm still confused about what day it is. I haven't got back into it yet.
No, I know. I don't know how you're supposed to get over that period in your life. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I have spent all of my 2 weeks pretty much eating.
I know. It is fabulous, though, isn't it? You know, after eights and cheesy what's-its. I mean, I haven't stopped.
It is. I will say this, though. You know, I don't know if you do this thing, but, you know, when you get to the... As I get to this end of the period, right? So the end of the festive period, coming back to work on the Monday, as I did. And, you know, I'm sort of going through the cupboards on Sunday night, trying to find what I can get, you know, and yet you end up eating things like toffifee, things you'd never eat before.
Yes.
It's like, oh, look, we'll just eat it because it's here. Or you find that old packet of crisps. We ate pea crisps the other night. Pea crisps.
That sounds absolutely disgusting, although I have found a new favourite, and that is Brussels sprout flavour. They are amazing. I can't get enough of them.
You know you can get tea-flavoured Brussels sprout tea. Do you know that?
That just sounds weird.
No, you can. You can. You get it from a very posh supermarket chain.
I won't know that one, Stephen.
Not
we
the
live
most,
in different worlds.
Not the posh one that you're thinking of, but the one below it. That's why I'm not giving its name away, because I'll get sued. Yes, hello, welcome to Tech Talk. We are back for 2019. No Tim Schwartz this week. He unfortunately couldn't make it because he had somewhere else he'd rather be. In his bed. And I'm actually not kidding. He is in his bed, but it is for the purposes of science. Yes, we'll find out more about that in next week's programme. I've set it up for him now, haven't I?
Sounds really intriguing,
doesn't it? Just, yeah. I wish I could get on this experiment, let me tell you. Right, listen, we've got lots to get through, so stick around. It's Tech Talk back for 2019. Who let that happen? But before we get into all of the news of the day, and there is a lot to talk about, actually, but before we do that, I just want to start with a bit of a whine, if you don't mind.
I've missed it.
I know. Well, open the bottle, will you? Thank you. Yeah, I'm afraid it has to happen because, you know, over the Christmas festive period, I was quite excited, if I'm honest with you, Sean Preece. I was quite excited because I had a new toy to play with. Tim got these as well, and we were talking about this, and we're saying, you know, in the lead up to Christmas, we're going to use this. It's going to be good fun for all the family. Good, clean fun, which is what it's all about. That was the old, was it the old Bob Monkhouse joke? Two people take a bath together. Good, clean fun. Anyway,
steady.
Aside that, yeah, that's an old joke. I think some things should remain in the 70s. But yes, I got Echo buttons. These are Echo, from Amazon, you get these. The little buttons that you pair up with your Amazon Echo or your Echo Dot or whatever, and you can play games. That's the idea behind it, and it sounded like real good fun. It did, because you could play games on them, can't you? I think you've had fun with this more than I have.
It's the game show buzzers, isn't it? It sounds perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what it is. It's just a game show buzzer. You play games like Trivial Pursuit, or there are other games you can play that kind of involve colours and are quite visual.
We don't
do those. Yeah, don't do colours. Don't do anything visual. But the Trivial Pursuit games sounded good fun.
Yep.
So I thought, great, we've got family coming over, there's going to be six of us there. So we bought six buttons, and I sat down to do it. And the first thing I did was I thought, I better pair all these buttons up. I'm not quite sure how to do it. I'll check online. So I did. And it seemed really simple. You just basically say to Lady A, you know, pair buttons, I think it was you said. And then that was it. It just kind of connected itself. However, that's certainly the way it was portrayed in the video that I watched. Wasn't really possible, because I did this on Christmas Day, and I did this about 10 o'clock on Christmas Day, which
last minute as ever.
Well, yes, exactly. Well, you know me. and as usual, didn't know what I was doing either. But what was kind of laughable about the whole thing was, this was, and I didn't realise this at the time, but this was the very moment when pretty much the entire planet had turned on their Amazon devices, because, of course, they had sold millions of them, and everyone was setting them up, and it actually meant that in the UK and Europe, the whole thing crashed. So you couldn't use it.
It was like going back to the Dark Ages, wasn't it? I see, I had it all set up with the Christmas music. It got an echo in each room, and I thought, you know, we're having dinner, we play some music throughout the group, it's going to be lovely.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
I know. I know, utterly disgusting. And it was. So, yes, I was the same. I had my music planned. I had my Everywhere group, which is just brilliant. You know, where you just say, play music everywhere. And if you've got lots of these things already connected in your house, as long as they're all on the same account and they're all on the same Wi-Fi, then you can just say, play music everywhere. It could be a playlist or a specific song. And it will just play that song all over your house. But, of course, when it doesn't work, all you get is a chorus of, sorry. Can't connect to anything right now.
I'm having trouble understanding you. That's all I heard. And then, of course, I'm trying to get it working for hours, thinking, I don't know what the problem is. I'll reset everything.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and not realizing that it was just the whole of Amazon in the Western Hemisphere that had gone down.
Yeah, I only had access to my Wi-Fi router. I didn't have access to Amazon's one to reset
turn it off
that.
And on again.
I just turned the whole thing off and turned it on again. You know, we watched a movie, which kind of made me laugh, because if anyone's not seen this movie yet, I strongly encourage you to, because it's utter nonsense, but it's brilliant. And it's called Skyscraper. It features Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, I've heard about this one, and it sounds just even too ridiculous for me. Even if it's got audio description, I don't want to watch it.
Well, it has got audio description, and the AD is very good on it. I can't deny that. But I will say it is laughable. Basically, this gigantic... It's like Towering Inferno brought back to life, as you know, in the modern day. But this guy has to get up to the 98th floor, and he can't get in because there's a fire on the 96th. So he has to, of course, do what everyone would do, and that's climb up the outside of the building. Yeah, that's what everyone would do. But anyway,
that's
the point...
what The Rock would do.
Yeah, but the point is, this building was very technological and it had all the very latest stuff on it. And at the end of the movie, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but, you know, I think we can all probably tell how it works. At the end of the movie, the only way that this fire can be put out is by re-enabling all of the systems that were in place that have been disabled by the bad people.
Of course, it's
all done on an iPad. And the woman says, I don't know how to do this. So, it's like someone in the crowd who's found this tablet and has managed to figure out how to operate an entire skyscraper. And she literally hits turn off and turn on. And then everything's fine. And you just think, wow.
It's a universal truth. Turn it off, turn it on again. It fixes everything. Even fires, apparently.
Even massive skyscraper fires it'll solve. Yeah. How bizarre. But yes, it was a good film, actually. But yeah, that was my issue on Christmas Day. So if you got the Amazon Echo buttons, maybe you had more luck than I did. We ended up just, you know, playing actual Trivial Pursuit and I wasn't playing. So yeah.
Well, it's interesting, though, because it's like Amazon of... been a victim of their own success, because we were saying, you know, the Black Friday deals and the Dot 3, the success of that and the low cost they put that out at, it obviously was too much. You know, everyone just turned it on Christmas and the servers just fell over.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, no issues in the US. I know a lot of our listeners here to Tech Talk do listen in America. They'll be thinking, what is he talking about? This didn't happen in America. It only happened to us in the UK and for a good part of Europe as well. So anyway, that's my gripe for the day. But yes, it's nice to be back. It is nice. It's nice to kind of get back to some kind of normality, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We're back into the routine. There's only so much TV and chocolate you can take.
Yeah, Toffifee is nice, but I think it's maybe time to move on and get back to the branded stuff. Anyway, no offence to Toffifee. I'm sure you're wonderful.
I love Toffifee. I got to say, just the packaging, you could pretend you're a Dalek if you wrap it around your head.
Also, it kind of has that look of quality, doesn't it?
It does.
Looks like you care. It looks like you care. When you give it to other people. So coming up, we're going to be talking about Be My Eyes. Now, we've talked before on the show about Be My Eyes. That's nothing unusual. But today we're actually going to hear from the guy who founded it, the company. And that's Hans-Jørgen Wiberg, who talks to our very own Basil Oxtoby in our London studio. As well as that, we're going to be hearing later from Roger Wilson-Hines. Now, Roger is a user and tests out the in-your-pocket device that we've talked about. And the reason we're talking to both of them is because Be My Eyes and In Your Pocket have teamed up. So if you've got In Your Pocket at the moment, then you might notice an update. And that update will allow you to get the very latest software, which gives you access to Be My Eyes. Now, if you don't know what Be My Eyes is, we're going to tell you all about that. And if you don't know what In Your Pocket is, you'll learn all about that as well over this hour, which is rather interesting. And a bit later, we're going to be talking about music. No, we love music. You love music. I love music.
I love music. I'm not sure about you because you love country music, which I don't know if we can class that as music.
Three chords and the truth. That's what it is. but yes, I do. I do like country songs. And one of the things I got this year for my Christmas that I was very excited about was I got a HomePod.
Wow. I mean, how many speakers does one man need? It's unbelievable. But it is an interesting one because
it would appear.
the HomePod is... It's intriguing because it's all about the audio quality,
yeah.
But it's very much Apple only. It's a bit of a paradox, that one. I'm not sure if I want it or not.
Well, this is the thing, right? So my wife gets me this for Christmas and I'm like, this is the most amazing speaker I've ever heard. I love Sonos. And putting it next to Sonos, I find it hard to tell them apart. I'll be honest. Putting it next to the Play 5, which is the big one from Sonos, I really did struggle to tell them apart. Wow. And the quality is just as good. What I will say about the HomePod versus the Sonos, say the Play 5, I mean, the Play 1, you might want to put it next to that because of the size. It's very similar in terms of the size to the Play 1. But I think, audio-wise, you would say it's more like the Play 5. But what I love about it is the placement really does matter with the HomePod. You can put it anywhere in the room, and it will just figure out the best way to give you the audio. Whereas with the Sonos, once you've placed it, you then have to sort of take this your phone app and sort of trail yourself around a room,
yes.
Sort of pointing the microphone, waving up and down, waving the phone up and down to sort of give it an opportunity to figure out the room environment that it's in. It's great, but as soon as you move it, it's all out of kilter and you've got to do that again, whereas the HomePod figures it out by itself. I do like that feature, but the sound quality is great.
That's the thing that I think it is a bit of a myth, but that's the thing that people say Apple always get right. You don't have to think about it. It just, you know, it's the old, it just works. Now, I don't think that's particularly true of Apple anymore. But in this case, you know, this technology, as you said, size-wise, for such a compact and small speaker as it is, and the audio quality that you say you're getting from it, comparing it to a Sonos 5, that's amazing. That's some engineering.
Packs a punch. That's the thing about it. It does pack a punch. And often a speaker that size, with the amount of bass that it's giving off, and it does, it's very heavy on bass. A song like Jess Glynn's All I Am, which is a very heavy bass song, that song that you would expect a speaker to rattle, or you would expect it to move with the level of bass that's coming off it, it doesn't. It just stays perfectly still. It's got enough weight in it to hold it down and deliver the bass and give it the audio quality that you want. So, no, it's definitely worth having. But at the same time, it's a very expensive thing. And I see so many conversations on Twitter and Facebook from blind friends and people I know who are in the community who love good quality sound, but just think, is it worth it? Because I don't get Spotify. I don't get Amazon Music through it. I can't get Tidal through it.
That's it. Never mind that. You can't Bluetooth it. There's no way to connect into it other than AirPlay.
So, yeah, that's right. So you could do it that way. And that's one thing I've been doing. I've been using it so that a lot of my music, I was saying to you before, I've been ripping my CDs. Stop laughing. I've been ripping my CDs.
Your C90 cassette tapes. Yes.
That's right, yes. getting them all in FLAC format, which is the lossless audio, rather than MP3. And what I've been doing is playing that through Plex, because I put them all in my Plex library on my computer, and then I play them through my Plex app on my phone, and AirPlay that to the HomePod. It's kind of a long way round.
Slightly.
Because you can't put FLAC files into iTunes, because it doesn't support it. Yet the HomePod does. I'm hoping this is all going to change soon. I'm hoping iTunes is going to update soon with that. But
that's, good luck.
Yeah, I know. But... I am hopeful for it because I think it seems a bit ridiculous that that's where we are at the moment. But anyway, so that's what I do, and I just AirPlay my songs to the HomePod that way, and the sound is incredible. It really is. I mean, I listening to a song the other day, and I can't remember which one it was. It was probably a country song. But you know that way, there's like, you hear one guitar, But then all of a sudden you're hearing three guitars, and you're like, where did those other two come from?
I'd see, that's the thing. It's like when you get a very nice pair of headphones. You go through your whole collection again, don't you? Listening. Yeah. Because it sounds like a new song. It sounds like, I never heard that before. That's the great thing about when you get some great audio device.
But I think there is a conversation to be had, and there's a few things I've been thinking about over the holidays. And the common questions people might ask us is, right, so if I was buying a smart speaker, which one should I go for? Truth be told, I think if you're going down the route of getting a smart speaker, it depends on what you want to do with it. Ultimately, Apple have firmly entrenched themselves with this product in the world of music. If I say while a song's playing, tell me more about this song, or where did this artist grow up, you'll get that information, you'll get all that detail, and it's very good at answering those questions. So it's music driven. If you love music, if you're into music, good quality sound, that's what you want. If you're looking for information about the weather and time, and you're going to use it in that way, then go down the Amazon Echo route or the Google Home route.
Yeah.
And I think if you're interested in quality music and all those services, then you want to get an Echo or an Echo Plus, or you want to get a Google Max. Google Home Max, I should say.
There's so much choice now.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, the smart side is very much Google and Amazon, I think. Google does have the edge if you're asking general questions. It's able to search the web a lot better. I think that Google does have the edge when it comes to asking general questions.
Oh, I see what you were doing there. I see we're merging your words together. You're doing what
wedge
the kids
and edge,
do.
Thank
wedge.
You.
Yep, wasn't web.
That saves time.
Yeah, don't say web and edge, say wedge.
But the Amazon is a lot better with smart devices in your home, the lights and everything like that. Not that the Google isn't, but I think Amazon still has the edge over skills and
I don't know.
Smart.
I know what you mean. Devices. I know what you mean about that, but I think that's because we haven't spent the time setting up the Google device because we think, but it's already set up with the Amazon one, so I don't want to do it again. And also, the same with Siri. Siri can do all of this as well.
Ooh. Well, you say that. I mean, HomeKit integration is far less widespread than anything else, than Amazon or Google.
That's probably partly true. Yeah, I think you're probably right in that one.
Partly true. It's totally true, Stephen.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah, because oftentimes, actually, if you look at the boxes when you buy things, even if you're buying stuff online or you go into a store and you look at the box, it'll say works with Amazon, works with Google, and that's it. Doesn't mention Siri. You see,
of course, because they've got to go through Apple to get clearance for it, and there are certain guidelines they've got to reach for it. It's far more strict being Apple. They want far more control over it. So a lot of these manufacturers of smart devices don't want to jump through the hoops. And you could argue that, well, you know, the fact that HomeKit is so secure and Apple put all these guidelines and monitor it is a positive. But still, you know, for general use, for using your light switch or light bulbs, I honestly don't care. I just want it to work.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? And, you know, if you want something that's going to work. And because you're buying, in this case anyway, especially with things like smart bulbs and smart tech, you're spending a lot of money. You know, by the time you add all this up, it gets costly. I mean, my house alone, I worked out that it would cost me around £400. And that was buying the cheapest of the cheapest smart bulbs I could find.
I know, exactly.
But it was going to cost me £400 just to replace all the bulbs with smart ones. I have, of course, gone down this route because I love it. I've got them all in the house. I haven't set any of them up yet because I was too busy eating chocolate.
You bought them all, but you haven't put them in.
Yeah, come on. It's chocolate and Netflix time. I mean, you know, come on.
I couldn't resist. I couldn't wait.
I know. Well, I am keen to get on with it because, of course, the problem is every time I go in a room, I think it could be so much better if I could just ask Lady A to turn these lights on and off. But anyway, right, let's...
We're not lazy, honestly.
No, we're not. No. But we are.
Yes.
Right. So lots to talk about this year because, of course, we've got CES, which always gives us a glimpse into the future. We're going to talk about that in a few moments' time. But I want to not kick off because we're 20 minutes in, but let's continue. Let's do it that way. Let's continue with a conversation that our Basil Oxtoby has been having in our London studio with Hans-Jørgen Weiberg. Now, he popped in to tell us all about Be My Eyes. He's the guy who founded the app, and he thought he'd tell us all about it and its new integrations with In Your Pocket.
Being a low vision person myself, and I've been working for the Danish Blind Association for a number of years as a consultant visiting blind people. So I think I know a lot about different levels of blindness and low vision and so on. And I saw there was a need for this. And at some point, I discovered that it was possible to do it. I had no clue how to do it because I'm not a technical person myself. But I managed to get a team around the idea. And together, we have managed to put it out there.
So is it really taken off over the last 4 years? You said you've been doing it now. Did it take a while for it to kind of get the ball rolling, to get going?
Well, I came up with the idea back in 2012, and then we spent a year raising the first money, and then we spent a year developing, and then in January 2015, we were ready to launch the app. So it has been there for quite a while.
So you said you're not a very technical person yourself, but from your brainchild, how did it move forward from there?
Well, as I said, I had no clue how to do this. So I heard about a event called Startup Weekend, where you can basically walk in from the street and tell about an idea, and then hopefully some of the other people at this event think it's a great idea. And I did that, and we were eight people who kind of worked on this idea throughout the weekend. And we managed to get this called the Most Innovative Idea Award thing. So we were all excited about that. And then we started to see how can we raise the money and so on. So,
And obviously it's all volunteer-based. How many volunteers, how many people, sets of eyes do you have within the program?
We have 1.8 million volunteers across the globe. We have volunteers speaking 183 different languages, so which is, in my opinion, pretty impressive, without any marketing budget. So it's really been mouth to mouth, and me doing interviews like this one, and Facebook and Twitter and so on. But maybe most people who has had and experience are super excited about it. So they tell their friends about it. So I think every time we have a call, we have even more volunteers because people are so excited about this easy way to volunteer.
And I think people, at the end of the day, people like to help people. I think that's what it is. If you said to somebody, you can do your bit for somebody that's maybe less able, and all you have to do is take out your phone, people are going to jump at the opportunity, which they clearly have.
Yeah, and what I hear is that it's you don't have to be at a specific place and a specific time or anything. It's only if you are available, you are available, and then you can take the call. So it's a super super convenient way to be a volunteer. Most calls are less than 3 minutes, so we call it micro volunteering because it's basically something you can do when you're waiting in the line in the supermarket or something like that, or sitting in your living room, or having a break at work or something like that. So,
and how does it? You mentioned 180 languages, which is seriously impressive. Do you have users that kind of select what language they speak, and then the micro volunteers, as you call them, you match them up? So you wouldn't say get a Spanish speaker who didn't speak any English.
We try to avoid that. So when you sign up, we ask you what language do you speak, and then we also ask, and this is especially I come from Denmark, it's a very small country, so if you can speak English also, then you can add English as your secondary language. And this makes it easier to get help 4 o'clock in the morning, because we do not call our volunteers 4 o'clock in the morning.
If you
speak English, of course, it's no problem. But if you speak a small language, then if you can add a secondary language, it's a super, super help.
And in the first, like you said, you've got to 1.8 million users. How quickly did you see, within the first 6 months, how many users had you got?
Well, we were completely blown away on day one. The first week, we had 10 to 15,000 downloads a day. My server guy was completely freaked out. and we had to change the server setup 3 times the first 10 days or something like that. So it was really, and we were picked up by all the startup media, tech media. So it was really a dream of a beginning that we had.
And obviously, again, we've said it's volunteering, but is there a position where you'd like to potentially pay people to be full-time, you know, on the other end of my be my eyes, or is it always going to be very much a volunteer-led thing?
Well, we decided from the beginning that Be My Eyes should be a free app for the blind people, because maybe the blind people in the UK and in Denmark, they will be able to pay. But we have decided that we want to be a service for blind people all over the world. And the 90% of the blind people in this world, they live in low-income settings. Mm-hmm. They live in India and in Africa and in China and so on. And we want to be there for everybody. So it was kind of maybe a stupid decision, but we decided that it should be free. And then we had to find some other way to make it also into a profitable business. And that's what we are doing with Microsoft right now. You can call a volunteer, but you can also call Microsoft support directly. Microsoft is super happy about this because it is way easier for their support people to help people when they also get the video part.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make the support call via Be My Eyes, the Microsoft people also get the video part. Because the first thing the supporter will ask you is, okay, what's on the screen now?
Yeah,
and then you're sitting there, I don't know. And now they can just show the screen. And so it's Microsoft is paying Be My Eyes a monthly fee. So we help them help their blind customers. And hopefully we can get a whole bunch of other tech companies on board as well. Who want to tap into this 250 million pool of blind and low vision people in the world. It's really a lot of people and a lot of customers, hopefully the companies will do the right thing. So you are
planning on more business link-ins. You're just waiting for these.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I imagine though, if you've got Microsoft signed up, other large corporations, you know, Apple, whoever else it may be, are probably going to see this and think we're going to need to do that as well. So I imagine that you're going to have
we're going to make them aware of it. So
yeah, and obviously you've just started working with In Your Pocket as well.
Mm.
How did that come about?
Well, Andrew reached out, and we met him in Orlando, and he's a super nice guy, and it made totally sense, because one of the challenges we have is all the tech-savvy blind people, they can just download the app and start mm-hmm. using it, but those people who need a little more tech support, maybe they had not been into computers, and then they go blind when they are like 70 years old, and then it can be mm-hmm. really difficult. And some text pop up on the screen, and you don't know what to do with the text and so on. And In Your Pocket has solved all those problems. And it's an out-of-the-box talk-to-your-phone solution. You don't have to... of course, you have to press the one button to make it alive, so to speak. And then you can just say, Be My Eyes, or whatever you want to do with your phone, and it's working brilliantly, and they take care of all the installation and all that. So and then we can reach a group of people that we were not able to reach otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect match, in my opinion.
Wicked. Yeah, well, I hope more people see it.
That is Hans-Jørgen Weiberg there from Be My Eyes, who was talking to Basil Oxtoby about the relationship between Be My Eyes and In Your Pocket. And we're going to hear more about that relationship. But Sean, what was interesting there was we learned a bit more about that relationship that Be My Eyes has with Microsoft, which has proved invaluable to me, certainly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you recently had that problem and you found it fantastic. And look, I'm going to get a little bit mushy here, so forgive me. We've talked about Be My Eyes before, and the service, it goes without saying, because we have talked about it so much, the service is fantastic. Mm. And, you know, a free service, it's amazing. But I find it just really, I'm going to use the word, and I don't like using it, inspirational. The way he says Hans had no technical prowess.
Oh. Sorry, you said inspirational. It set off my alarm.
I thought the fire alarm was going off then. I thought... Look, the way Hans had no technical prowess at all, but it's weird. There's that saying that everyone's got one great novel in them. I think everyone's got one great app in them. And the way he got that app and out of his head and actually out there, I think is fantastic. And of course, the in your pocket, getting Be My Eyes on in your pocket just makes total sense. It's the perfect marriage.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's because, and this is the key thing, I think the message here is that having Be My Eyes on something like in your pocket helps people who aren't tech savvy. That's really the message, isn't it? You know, it's over well for the likes of us who use our smartphones every day, and we love using them, and I know you do. But there are people out there who will just maybe never touch a smartphone, and something like in your pocket would do them fine. But actually having more features like this on that kind of device will help. And we're going to hear more about that later, because Roger Wilson-Hines is a user and tester, and he's going to give us some trade secrets. I don't think he realised he was doing this, but he is going to give us some trade secrets today. We're going to hear more about some of the upcoming features to In Your Pocket as well. So if you've been thinking about it, then you might want to think again when you hear some of these features, because I think you might quite like to hear or might like what you hear about the upcoming features, as well as Be My Eyes on the In Your Pocket device. So more on that coming up later. Let's talk briefly about CES, because it has just started, as in the press conferences have happened, the opening days now, as we are recording this, the event is just beginning. But there's really, this is really the point where you start to hear a lot of the big announcements that come out from CES. Generally, all the sort of press releases are sent out, and all of the news starts to appear of what companies are going to be providing. Now, this news is going to be coming thick and fast. We're not going to get into too much in this program, because we will miss more than we'll even begin to talk about, because it's happening as we speak. So next week's show, we will devote to more time on CES, and we will, you know, very much be looking at it, because I know a lot of this is mainstream tech, but we are seeing a shift. We saw it last year, but we're seeing a shift towards more technology coming out that is more accessible to us. And the one that sticks out for me from last year is Bosch and their Home Connect app, which we've heard from listeners who've been using it, that it's accessible, that it helps them operate their washing machine or their cooker or, you know, other Bosch appliances, dishwasher, for example. Yeah. And that's brilliant. I mean, you know, it's back to the very point why we started this program way back when, that it wasn't a show for people who are using specialist tech, and, you know, the idea being that if you're blind, you can only use stuff that's, you know, blind friendly. Actually, this is about looking at kit that's already available on the shelf, that's out there today, that you can buy, and how it can be adapted very quickly for you to be accessible. So, for example, if you use a screen reader on your phone, well, that's going to help you access apps. And if those apps are accessible, as in they're all labelled properly and everything makes sense, then you have more opportunity to use technology out there, like, for example, the Bosch products. So that's what we're looking for in CES. So those kind of glimmers of hope in there. And there was more than one last year. So I think this year will be quite good. So I want to kick off just with one story, which we have heard about, because this was an interesting one. iTunes, for those who like it, those who loathe it, is really the kind of central plank of Apple's entertainment structure. So you have, you know, the movies and the films and the music in there. And up until now, you could only ever get iTunes on an Apple device, be it an Apple TV or an Apple computer, Apple phone, tablet, whatever. Now, for the very first time, Apple have linked up with Samsung, and remember, they used to hate each other, but now they don't.
Weird.
Yeah, they're now best friends, and they've working together. And in the 2019 Samsung smart TVs, you will be able to access the iTunes store to let you watch and view and rent and buy films and TV programs and music, I guess. And as well as that, you'll be able to AirPlay using AirPlay 2, the latest version of AirPlay, and that will be available to on your Samsung TV. So you'll be able to share pictures and music and video from your phone and cast it, if you like, using AirPlay to your Samsung TV. The 2019 models, that's the ones that's being sent out to and being made available on, but it will also be made available to all 2018 TVs via an update coming later in the year. I think that's pretty good news.
Oh, it's fantastic news. It's the weirdest news ever. Can anyone figure out Apple at all? You don't know what they're going to do next. I would not have seen this coming ever. I mean, Samsung of all manufacturers, you know, I'm sure they're in court somewhere in the world with Samsung. They always are. They're always fighting lawsuit about something. But it does make, from a business point of view, I mean, Samsung are probably the world leader when it comes to TVs. So it does make total sense to get the, your iTunes platform out there. But is it going to be accessible?
Wow.
I mean, it's fine being iTunes is on there, but we all know that the smart side of TVs is hit and miss when it comes to accessibility.
Well, this is the interesting thing. So this is, and it is interesting that it's Samsung from our point of view, because Samsung is one of, I mean, there are a number of manufacturers now that do have some kind of voice guidance system built into their product.
Yes, LG, Philips, Panasonic, I think.
That's right. But the only downside to that is the apps themselves. Samsung, I would say, out of all of the companies, I think they have probably got, and I didn't buy a Samsung TV recently, I bought a Sony that didn't have any smart features, but I had my reasons.
Stupid reasons.
Yeah. But I did have my reasons. But the interesting thing is, I would say that in terms of the operating system, the structure, the way it works, I do think Samsung probably has got the best layout of a smart TV. I think it's the most obvious, the most understandable, the most friendly, way to use a television with all the smart features. Now, I think LG's pretty good as well, actually. I like their system as well. But in terms of accessibility built in and all of that, from our point of view, Samsung probably have a bit of the edge on this. Now, the problem is the apps.
Samsung have the foundation of accessibility built into their OS.
Well, they do. But I think it's the apps. Now, what we're learning about this is that it will be the iTunes app that will be on the TV. Now, it is up to the manufacturer to make sure that the operating system is accessible, but it's up to the third party, in this case Apple, to make sure the app on the TV is accessible. Now, it would be very strange if this app was not accessible, because it would be one of the first, I would imagine, first things we would have had that wasn't natively accessible. Now, this is the first time we've ever gone outside of Apple's world, if you like, to get here. So I'm wondering how this is going to play out. I hope it's accessible.
Well, you would. I mean, being Apple, and the whole reason that I love Apple so much, as I said, some of the decisions that Apple makes and some of their software decisions, I just don't understand. But when it comes to accessibility, I think that they take that very seriously. And you've got a certain expectation that when they bring out something, it is going to be accessible. Accessibility has been thought about. So when it comes to something like this, I would expect it to be accessible.
Well, we shall wait and see. But I will say this. I think a lot of people are probably wondering why they're doing this. Why would Apple want to do this when they've got their own Apple TV box they would want to sell? I think the reality is that with Apple wanting to launch some kind of Netflix equivalent, and I don't think it'll be called iTunes, because it kind of goes against the grain, doesn't it? I mean, the name doesn't really work. So whether it's renamed as Apple TV, but it's something, I don't know what they'll call it, Apple Flix or whatever, that is going to be coming probably this year, because we did hear over the holidays that Apple are having a bit of a problem at the minute selling iPhones. I have got my suspicions about that. I think they've made a bit of a boo-boo with this one. They've gone and sort of said, right, okay, look, we're going to make all the old phones just as good as the new ones. And then people are saying, well, why bother buying a new one? So I think
the price has a lot to do it myself. But
That's not helpful either. But if you say, well, look, the phone you've got, that you've got an iPhone 7, we've made it just as good as, you know, or at least as good as can be for an iPhone 7, then why would you want to buy anything else? So that's one problem. But you're right, the cost of these devices is going up and up and up. And I don't think people are going with it. So, but, you know, market decides. And if the market says we're not buying it, the prices will come down.
Yeah.
So there's that. But they are spending a lot of money. $1 billion, I think, is what's been spent so far on content for this new service.
And, wow. Well, not only that. I mean, a big part of their profits and their revenue is through, you know, things like the App Store and iTunes.
Services,
Movie rental and music sales. They do make a lot out of that. So it is important to them.
But I think what they're looking to do is create some kind of package. So maybe you have movies, TV, music all in one. because I've often thought I like iTunes catalogue. I think it's a great catalogue. A lot of audio described content on there. Not as much as I'd like there to be, but there is some.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. But I think I just don't want to buy a movie every time or rent a movie every time. You know, I can rent a movie for the same cost of a month's subscription of Netflix, where I get everything.
Yes.
So I'm a bit, you know, I'm not so keen on that. And I think I would happily pay a subscription for an iTunes-like service with the music and everything added in. That would be quite good. And I think that is where they're probably going to go with this. So, but that's this suggests to me that's why they've done this, that they're moving towards making Apple's content more widely available. So
yeah,
interesting.
That's always what Apple wants to do. And plus, you know, this is the way it's all going. We're trying to cut the cable, as they say, and especially in the US where everything is cable TV, mm-hmm. and they're trying to cut that and get into that market as much as they can. And I think it's a good thing, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you know, let's talk about inaccessibility for a minute. Sky Q,
yes.
Sky Q have just added Netflix to the system. It's kind of ironic in a way because ironic from our sense. Because you've got a system like Sky with no audio description on demand, and then you've got Netflix, and the audio description works great on it.
Yeah, it's
great irony.
Crazy.
Anyway, let's continue talking about Be My Eyes and In Your Pocket. These two have teamed up, and if you've got the In Your Pocket device, then you'll know all about it. It's essentially almost like a smartphone where you can talk to it, and it will read your books, it will read your newspapers. It will give you other information as well, but lots more new features are coming, as Roger Wilson-Hines has been telling Basil Oxtoby this week for Tech Talk. He has been in the studio to talk about not only Be My Eyes, but the other features coming soon.
Be My Eyes is a fabulous app. I think you've had it described to you already. It links people with help, remote help, wherever they are. Okay, and it's good if you're techie. You can switch your phone on, you can install the app, you can make use of the app by poking about on a small screen with your finger. But unfortunately, most people with little or no sight aren't actually techie. So the purpose of In Your Pocket is to make using a smartphone ever so easy if you're not techie. So if I illustrate what I mean, you've got your phone, your smartphone in your pocket in front of you, in your hand. You press a button and you say, call my wife, or whatever you've called the contact. Or you say, read the Telegraph, or read the Guardian, and you listen to it. You say, what time it is? What time is it? And the phone tells you the time. And you say, where am I in the street? And the phone tells you, you're in such and such a street, near a house number. And all that's ever so useful. So you can also now say, be my eyes. And automatically, you get put through to a willing volunteer, one of 1.8 million volunteers who can see what your phone camera sees and help you with the problem that you've got. So you don't have to install, you don't have setup problems, you don't have to poke about a tiny keyboard on the screen, you just say, be my eyes, and you've got access to this fabulous app.
So you're an ambassador, as you said, for In Your Pocket. And is this, since Be My Eyes has been introduced to the device, have you found it a real help?
Oh, I think it's fabulous. Last week, in my possession, I'd got about 8 birthday cards. And I like to send people nature cards, pictures of an owl or a kingfisher. And when I choose the cards, I see a little bit of colour and I think I like that one. But when I come to sort them out, I can't tell which picture's which. So I used Be My Eyes and I spoke to this lovely lady and she told me what each card was in turn. I put them in alphabetical order and then later on got them mixed up again. And I was able to send the one I wanted to a friend of mine last week. That's the kind of thing I use it for. And I also use it, we've got a steam oven and a hot oven in our kitchen and neither of us, neither Margaret and I, can read the dial. So we just Be My Eyes and they say, yeah, your temperature's 180 or whatever it is. Yeah.
So have you, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, but have you met any particularly nice people at the other end of the phone?
Yeah, they're all nice. You only meet them for a short time. You chat a little bit and that's lovely, you know. But yeah, they're all nice people. They've signed something. They want to be a friend of a blind person and be helpful. They're on side, you know. Whoever you are, they're going to be on side.
As Hans says, the micro-volunteering. And I what I said to Hans was, I think the reason that it's become so popular is that people are desperate to help other people who aren't maybe as fortunate, but it's not that easy. But with something like Be My Eyes, it's a case of taking maybe 30 seconds, 5 minutes out of your day.
Yeah. And you, if you're busy, you don't have to answer. You know, you don't go in the list of people that's going to answer. You do it when you want to, and you do it, you're committed for a short time. And there's no long-term commitment, which is, I think, people like, you know.
Yeah.
It's micro-volunteering.
It's a perfect
crowd
way to describe it, yeah.
It's fabulous, you know. It's just a wonderful modern way to get help, especially for people on their own who don't see.
Yeah. So is your wife VI as well?
Yeah, yeah. She Margaret doesn't see at all. We both have guide dogs. It's like a circus when we go out. I see a little bit, but my sight's getting worse again by the week or by the month.
Yeah. You know?
So it's just fabulous for it. And it's great to be involved in a project like this, which is it's such a good story. It's going to be so successful. You know, it's a lovely thing to be involved in.
So if we go back to In Your Pocket, is there any new features that are going to be coming or have already been introduced as opposed to Be My Eyes?
Yes, yeah. The plan is to introduce something new every month. I'm one of 20 testers. And the things we've been testing lately, we're testing a taxi service. Anywhere in the UK, you can say, you can say, call a taxi, and up on the screen comes three taxi company choices. And you just say one, two, or three, and you put through to the taxi, wherever you are. Yeah, that's one.
Yeah.
And another one we've been testing is radio stations, internet radio.
So where you should be saying, In Your Pocket, please play RNIB Connect Radio, I would hope.
Yeah, you don't even say In Your Pocket.
You just say...
Press the button, you say, radio stations, RNIB, or radio stations, Connect. Either of those would get you straight
would
to...
Would get you there. Well, I hope that's the only station you're listening
that's
to,
the
Roger.
Only one, yes. On my honour, well that's
of,
the only one.
Well, of course.
Apart from the other... 550 or whatever.
But yeah, so is there any other major features that you've been testing that you're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to be doing reminders, a kind of diary reminder alarm thing in the very near future.
So any other new features, new exciting features that you've been testing as well?
Well, one of the most exciting things we're doing is navigation. Already you can be out in the street with the phone hanging round your neck and you can say, where am I? And it tells you that you're in such and such a street and you're by such and such a number house. And that's reasonably good. But we're working on a plan now that you can say, take me to 24 Smith Street. And you'll get spoken instructions guiding you and reassurance as you go. And we're also working on a possible project, which is tricky but doable, indoor navigation. Mm. I was in Milton Keynes on Monday and there are 200 and odd shops in the various shopping centres there. It would be so nice to be able to walk through and hear the name of the shop that you're passing if you can't see. And that's kind of challenging, but we're working on it and hope to do it using Bluetooth beacons.
So it'd be a shop would have something within it that says you're now coming past and then it'll send an alert to you.
No, it'll just, as you walk by, you'll hear, okay, Marks and Spencer's, 4 metres, 3 metres, 2 metres, 4 metres, 6 metres. When the numbers get bigger again, you know you've just missed it.
Yeah.
So it kind of guides you in to head in with your dog or cane. Yeah?
And do you use headphones or is it a loudspeaker when you've... Like you said, you can either have it in your hand or wear it around your neck.
Yeah, you can have... You can have wires and headphones going to your ears.
Yeah.
Or you can have Bluetooth wireless headphones. I actually wear hearing aids. The mission that we have... in all this technology business. I mean, I love technology and toys, so that's the selfish side. But the mission is to make technology accessible to people who aren't techie. It isn't possible for ordinary people who begin to lose their sight, perhaps as they get older or they have a stroke or whatever it is, it isn't possible to use screen readers and tiny keyboards on the screen like the techie blind people of you know, the stars, the flyers.
Yeah.
It isn't possible to pick up and do that. It's just not on. You can't walk down the street and be poking at your screen and frustrated and, putting your name in or your address or some silly numbers and letters for a Wi-Fi. You can't do it. But if you can speak it, then it's quick and it's easy and painless. And that's our mission. to make things that blind people want on a smartphone, or you could say a computer, make them accessible to your voice. So another way of saying that is, with a screen reader, I have to do everything and the tools make it audible to me. With In Your Pocket, the developers have done all the connecting, all the installing. You open the box and you talk to it and it works for you. That's the gold standard. That's our mission, if you like.
That's Roger Wilson-Hines talking there to Basil Oxtoby for Tech Talk this week. Sean, I mean, lots of new features coming to In Your Pocket. It's beginning to get up there, isn't it, with all these features. You're starting to wonder, well, you know, what else would I use my smartphone for if I was going to have one?
Yeah, well, I mean, Roger makes a fantastic point there. And it's something I've talked about before, about specialised tech and, you know, is it still valid really today? And the point is that people that don't want to get into the smartphones and the more detailed tech side of it, maybe, it's the perfect, you know, starting point. Very much like the Synaptic, you know, it's almost like the smart speaker crossed with a Synaptic, easy to navigate
yes.
system. It's great. Now, the reason I think I like this is the amount of work they're putting into it, is the upgrades and the extra features. When you think how this started In Your Pocket and where we're at now with the ability to add the phone calls and Be My Eyes and an extra feature a month is amazing. So as long as that work still goes into it, I think this is great.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an interesting product, and it's getting more interesting by the day. I think having things like navigation in it, having the ability to do reminders and alarms, it's bringing, in a way, it's kind of doing this in a really smart way, because the people who are taking this on might be people, as Roger said, and I'm not speaking out of turn here, Hans has said this, Roger said this, and others have said this about the product as well. It's for people who aren't really interested in smartphones,
yeah.
But it's giving you the opportunity to get into how it all works, and then gradually adding those features means you can sort of grow with it. I think that's
yeah.
clever. I like the way they've done that.
I would love to see this. The only thing I would say is I would love to see this as a standalone app available for a smartphone, because this is running basically on an Android device anyway.
Mm.
Well, so I would right, love yeah. to see this available, you know, to buy or subscribe to a monthly fee to use this as if you do already have an Android or iOS device.
And that's the argument for Synaptic, isn't it? Because Synaptic is the same. It's an app that runs on an Android device. But what
yeah.
Synaptic say is, look, once you've kind of got the hang of this, you might want to delve into the world of Android. Well, all you do is just close the app and there you go. You've got it. But equally, if you don't, then you've still got Synaptic you can use every day, and it will always be the thing that's there when you turn on your phone. So you kind of have the option, whereas with In Your Pocket, that's what you've got, and that's it. But it's a choice for you. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I think the key thing is that the choice is there.
Well, it's giving people access to these services. The key thing is that these services are out there. The technology, the services that this technology, whether it be a smartphone or an app like Be My Eyes or whatever it is, it's the services and the technology is fantastic. And however people want to access that is up to them. The easiest way is probably the best way.
Yeah. Just before I go, I want to just mention to you one more thing, and that is Netflix. Bit of a gripe, if I'm honest. More wine, please.
Yes, I think so.
Open it up, come on. Thank you.
Just leave the bottle.
Yeah.
I was so upset by this.
So Netflix came up with this program. The company who've made this program, Black Mirror Bandersnatch, which is based on the sort of continuing anthology, if you like, of these Black Mirror stories, each one
amazing
of them being different.
Program.
They are.
Amazing.
Amazing stories. Brilliant to watch. Very thought-provoking and all of that stuff. Well, this one came along and it had a bit of a twist on it, because this one had a bit like the old famous five books. You could choose the ending, or you could choose how the story moved along. You could actually, sort of, as the program's going along, you can say, oh, well, I'd quite like it, you know, should he do this or should he do that or whatever. And you could choose your path. Now, Netflix are very good with audio description. You've got products like the Apple TV, which is very good accessibility built in. So when you put them both together, it's quite a feast, really. You've got all these programs you can watch. It's very accessible. Well, the downside was, first of all, the thing I learned was that it didn't work. This program didn't work. I've never heard that before. My TV program isn't compatible with my television. But yes, you couldn't watch Bandersnatch on the Apple TV. You can't watch it on a Chromecast. You can't watch it really on many of the streaming devices that are out there, apart from Roku, if you've got one of those. It does work on certain smart TVs. It does work on Sky. If you've got Sky Q and you've got Netflix on it, it will work on that. The downside is that, of course, if you can't see and you're relying on the audio description and you're relying on voiceover for the buttons that you need to press to move the story along, or at least take part in it, then you've got a problem, because even on the smartphones, it's not accessible.
Button, 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 yes.
And I think you even got possible text, didn't you? And it did read.
I did. On the iPhone, when I tried this out, I did get possible text. So there's two buttons. It's always two choices. And it will say button, but every now and again it said possible text, yes. But which is great, but the trouble is you've got a time limit of, I don't know how long it is, 5 seconds or 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
To make your choice. By the time I've navigated to it and finally got it to say possible text, it's moved on. So it isn't really usable.
So, yeah, if you were planning to sit down and enjoy Bandersnatch, well, you're going to have to watch it with sighted help, and you're going to have to be prepared to answer the question quickly. I will say, I think 10 seconds for anyone is, you know, even if you can see, it's not a lot of time.
Oh, no, it's plenty of time. One of the first question it asked me was, what should he have for breakfast, sugar puffs or something else? I mean, you know, you don't need a lot of time, but now, it's, it's not accessible.
It's interesting you say that, because I was waiting for the yes, no to come up when I was watching it on my Android phone. And it did say, you know, what should he have? Was it sugar puffs or whatever? And I didn't realise that that was an option. I was waiting for option buttons to pop up and nothing did. So I would have had no idea that was even a choice.
That's the other thing. It doesn't tell you when the buttons appear. I'm lucky enough that I've got just enough vision to see that these buttons slide up to the bottom of the screen.
Right.
But there's no audible notification that the buttons are there anyway.
No, it didn't. It certainly didn't notify me at all on the Android. I was using the Google Pixel 3 to watch it and it didn't work. So I thought, I'll try it on this. You try it on the iPhone. So work in progress. I will say this. I think it's a great idea. I think this is something that they will fix.
Yes, it's a whole new level for Netflix. Before this, they brought out Minecraft to actually play through Netflix, which was amazing. I never tried out. I'm assuming that's not accessible. I don't think it is.
No.
But it's a whole new level they're moving on to. It's great. But let me just say this quickly. When I was testing this out, I went onto the website to see if it was accessible through Windows, you know, for a web browser. I don't know, because they've changed the website again. And I couldn't get it to play. The progress bar has disappeared. They've changed that. It was terrible. I couldn't actually get it to play without resorting to magnification and zoom to find the play button and a mouse. Terrible.
That's it for Tech Talk this week. As you can tell, we have plenty we're going to be talking about over the next year. Tim Schwartz back with us next week, as always. As will you, Sean Priest. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That's it for Tech Talk. Thank you for being back with us in 2019. Keep in touch. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk. Catch you next week.